Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I've read through John chapter 10 year after year after year after year, and multiple times through the year, because it comes into play so often in hospital settings or at funerals, there is one phrase in this whole thing that hits home to me as the anchor of the whole thing. And that is the end of verse 18. This charge I have received from my Father. So, this charge, what does that mean? Well, as we begin to dig into it, we'll touch on various aspects. This charge, this was planned. The whole business of salvation, the plan of salvation was planned from eternity, was planned before the world was created, before there was the first dust, before Adam was formed from the dust and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It was planned way back then, because God knew that Adam would fall into sin, knew that we would all wander off from God. As Isaiah says, we are sheep that love to wander. And so, within the Trinity, picture the conversation of God knowing that we would wander off from Him and that we would be lost in sin. And so the Father gives a charge to the Son. This charge is to be born into the world. This charge is to share our humanity. This charge is to share everything that it is to be us. To share the hunger, the thirst, the doubts, the fears, the worries. To share with us the fatigue. To share with us, imagine if you will, the experience of praying something and having his prayer refused. Of having his Father say no. When could that ever happen? Kneeling in the garden. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup of suffering. Yet not what I will, but what you will be done. And so that struggle in prayer, of seeing the cross ahead and fearing the judgment and the wrath that was to be poured out, and praying and his Father saying no. It was planned from the world that then our Lord Jesus would take our sin and carry it and carry us through the plan of salvation, through suffering, through bleeding, through dying, through being laid in the tomb and to the third day and rising from the dead. This charge was given to God the Son. This charge I received from my Father. Which then, as we talk about the cross of Jesus and about the resurrection and Easter morning, and Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Okay, this charge to do all of those things. This charge was to gather us into his kingdom, to gather the lost sheep, to gather humanity gone astray, humanity wandering off from God, humanity that had, yes, eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in that act turned away from listening to the word of God and decided again to listen to the word of Satan, to become disobedient to God, to become obedient to the devil, to take and reject the promises of God, and instead try and seize what God had not promised. And out of that act then comes the hiding, the shame, the blaming. First Adam blaming Eve, then blame going around all humanity. The animosity and hatred, and Cain rising up and killing his brother Abel. And the heritage of that act continuing on down to our day, so that many of our young men and women serve in far distant places, defending the nation or defending freedoms or bringing freedoms to other peoples. And humanity cannot seem to get it right. And out of that comes, whenever we think we've got something solved and everything seems to be on an uptick, you know what happens? You then put people into the equation and the whole thing falls apart. Those of you who are old enough may remember the comic strip Pogo. And the most famous line of that strip, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Yeah. That's what happens. But Jesus came to be the good shepherd. The good shepherd must live with the sheep. So he did. Jacob in the Old Testament tells about this, how he lived out with the sheep. When the rain came, he got wet. When the sun was scorching, he got sunburned. Out there with the sheep, and brambles and thistles and thorns and wild animals, and sharing the life and the lot of the sheep. So Jesus did. Sharing our hunger, our thirst, our fatigue, our sorrows, our tears, all the way to sharing our sin by taking that on himself to carry it to the cross, our death dying for us, our tomb, sharing that and being laid in a tomb that had to be borrowed. Then he shares with us his resurrection. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. He shares his life. He shares his victory. He shares how he is unraveling this whole business of sin and death. Death coming apart at the seams. Sin being wound back as Jesus brings the holiness of God to us. And we will see that day. We will see that day when we stand before God and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Is that going to happen to sheep that love to wander? The answer, only by the righteousness of Jesus, only by his death and resurrection. This is what Jesus did. He says, "This charge I have received from my Father." But now let's go right to the deepest part of it. Right to that point where no theologian understands this. No one has fully grasped all that is involved in this. Verse 17. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." And here is that point. That on the cross, as the wrath of God is poured out upon Jesus, as the Father in perfect holiness and righteousness forsakes and condemns his Son for the sins of the world, as he pours out his righteous and holy wrath upon Jesus, it is at exactly that point where Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me." So how does it happen that in the heart of God, the judgment, the hatred for sin, the condemning, the damning, is poured out upon Jesus, and at exactly that point, the love of God the Father for his Son shines so brightly? Those things are opposite. How do they come together? In his cross. No theologian will be able to fully explain that. Now you have a question that the next time we have a guest speaker from the seminary, one of the professors who has taught theology for many years and gives us this wonderful sermon with all kinds of intricacies, and he runs 25 minutes or 30 minutes because he's giving us so much wonderful theology, you can go and ask him, how does that happen? How does the Father turn against his Son and pour out all of the condemnation, and at exactly that point, Jesus say, "For this reason the Father loves me"? It's one of the great mysteries of God. But it is there and it is true. And in that mystery, there is your salvation hidden in Christ. Your salvation, your life, your eternity bound up in that act of God. Because you see, this is a charge given by God the Father to his Son Jesus. "Go forth, my Son," the Father saith, "and free men from the fear of death, from guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your suffering they may share the fruit of your salvation." "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly. I'll do what you have asked me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have demanded." "O wondrous love, what have you done?" The Father offers up his Son. The Son, contempt descended. "O love, how strong you are to save. You lay him low within the grave whose word the world created." How does this happen? It is a charge given within the Trinity from God the Father to God the Son. God the Son in full and perfect agreement with God the Father. And so it happens. Is condemned in your place. And you are given salvation because he stands there in your place. You are rich because he was poor. You are loved because he was forsaken. You have life because he took death upon himself. That is the most amazing part of the whole Bible, that Jesus did that for you. And then, having done that for you, okay, here's a riddle. Come along and we tell this riddle. Jesus said, "No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Question: on Easter morning, who raised Jesus from the dead? Was it God the Father who raised his Son from the dead? Or did Jesus rise from the dead by his own power and authority? I don't know the answer. The answer is yes. It is both. You would hardly expect at some point for the Trinity not to be working in full and perfect agreement, for this work to be shared between the persons of the Trinity. And there's another verse that says that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. So this charge is a phrase that tells us that they're deep within the heart of God. They're within the ponderings, the conversation within the Trinity. You were known. That God the Father chose that you would be called to salvation. There's another part of this charge I have received from my Father, because you see, the charge was not simply to go and defeat sin, go and defeat death, go and defeat the devil. The charge was much greater than that. The charge was from God the Father, bring back my wandering children. Bring back my children from every nation and tribe and people and language. Bring my children back so that they may be my family, gathered into my house to celebrate life, to enjoy blessings, to have eternity together. And God the Son goes forth and he calls you. Knows you and knew you from all eternity, and now in time has earned your salvation and did all of that by his cross and empty tomb, and now in your life has called you personally, individually, to know Jesus Christ, to walk with him, to be his sheep, and he your good shepherd. And what that means is, why? I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd, and let the things in life happen, the blessings, the joys, the sunny parts. Let the things in life happen, the fearful things. He's still going to be my shepherd and is still going to be calling and guiding and holding me in his hands. You have a shepherd, and his name is Jesus. You have a shepherd, and the charge that he has received from his Father was not only to do the work of salvation on the cross and on Easter, not only to call you and to bring you to faith, but also to be your shepherd this moment, later today, this afternoon, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, through all of your prayers and worries and all of the joys and sorrows of life, to be your shepherd, your good shepherd. And he does that. And he knows you. And he leads and invites and walks with you through this life and into eternity. You have a shepherd. And his name is Jesus. Amen.